Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. One of our favorite things to do is get around folks who have become successful and learned the right path. Today is a real life success story from seminar to syndicator. You're going to meet our great guest soon on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms, with us this week. As usual, co-host financial strategist Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, we spend our time traveling around, meeting lots of folks, going to events, some we host, some others, and we meet lots of real estate investors and aspiring real estate investors. And every now and then, we meet a guy or a gal who goes through the process and comes up on the other side a big winner, and usually there's a great story in there. Rarely is it, hey, everything just went well, you know, from the beginning to the end, and now I'm successful. There's always stuff that happens, and today, we're going to start kind of a new tradition at the Real Estate Guys, what we call Real Life Lessons, a chance to meet folks who are doing the thing.
Absolutely, and I think that's important, you know, case studies, things like that, lessons learned from everyday people. You know, we feature some of the most successful people in the world in real estate investing. You know, we have Ken McElroy come out quite a bit to our seminars and on the show, and he's great. And even though he started small, and he's a very relatable guy, he's just, you know, he's a very nice, approachable, he's not full of himself, he's happy to teach, he's a great guy, but he's had so much success, the little guy who's starting out is looking at that and they can't relate.
Yeah.
And so we thought, you know, how great would it be to find somebody who actually started out maybe in our audience or out there in the world somewhere, and they took that first step, because the key in any profession is you start out and you don't really know anything, but you have an interest, and then you go in and you begin to get educated, and then you begin to take the education that you've got and you begin to apply it in the real world, and you go through that iterative process of learning, and you work with people who become mentors to you, either overtly, people you hire to be your mentor, or people that you just end up working for or working with, and they train you and you learn by being around them, and you go through this evolution. And if you stay the path and don't fall subject to the shiny object, and I'm just saying, you know, when you're a young person, you're starting out and you're trying to figure yourself out, you go, I thought I'd be interested in this, I'm not, and that's okay, you bounce around a little bit. But at some point, you have to put your head down and you've got to say, you know what, this is the thing I want to do, I'm going to commit myself to do it, I'm going to go to work to do it, and come hell or high water, I'm going to be successful. And you do what you got to do. And that's really the secret. So, you know, we thought, let's find some of those people that are out there that have gone through that process and then ask them, what did you learn along the way? What worked? What didn't work? Where did you get stuck? How did you push through? Where are you at today and what's next? I mean, that's kind of the gist of the show. And so we're really, really excited about this one.
Well, you mentioned case study, and we learn a lot when we look at a case study that's a deal. Hey, what was the acquisition price? What was the situation with the property? What work needed to be done? What was the budget? Then what really happened? Oh, we opened it up and we found this, or oh my gosh, the city came and did that. We learn a ton from that. And then we see 2 years later, here's the returns. They were better or they were worse than predicted. They never are exactly as predicted, right? That's the whole part of pro forma. And we can learn a lot. Well, today's case study is a case study on an investor. And you can learn a ton from the path someone else has taken. Every year in October, of course, we do Halloween Horror Stories, which are case studies of things that went wrong. In fact, our guest today has been on Halloween Horror Stories twice before, and that tells me he's doing something right if he's had that many things go wrong, because in real estate, you don't always make it work. You don't bat a thousand. Things go wrong and will continue in real estate, and so it takes a certain fortitude to stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just common sense. It doesn't feel like it when you're going through it, but no baseball player hits the ball every single time they're at bat. No basketball player sinks the shot every single time they take take a shot. Not every relationship works out. You don't just typically meet the first person that you go out on a date with, and that's your life partner for the rest of forever. I mean, you can go through example after example after example in the human experience. Is you're going to have ups and downs. And it's really your fortitude. It's really your commitment. It's your willingness to learn from what goes wrong. It's your humility. One thing I've learned about successful people, and I think our guest is right in this camp, is they're very curious. They're open. They ask questions. They're willing to be wrong. They're not afraid to act when they've made a decision. They trust their own judgment. So they listen to the information. They make a decision. They take an action. They don't want to make mistakes, but they understand that's kind of the nature of the beast. And then when they run into a problem, as Tom Hopkins taught me many, many years ago, changed my life, is I don't take that failure personally. It doesn't mean that I'm somehow inadequate or incapable. It just means that I tried something that didn't work, like Thomas Edison. I didn't fail. I just found 10,000 things that didn't work. And then ultimately, by not quitting, he found the thing, the filament that would work, and he gave us the electric light bulb, changed the world. And that's what fortitude and that's what stick-to-itiveness will do. And so when you get around people that exude that and you see them work through, and that's why we thought this series of shows that we'll do will be so enlightening for people and so inspiring for people, because they're going to hear that, hey, there's other people out there that have walked through this and they hit the wall, they went through whatever they went through, they stuck with it, they pushed through, and now they've had a degree of success and they have a reason to think that they can continue to grow that success, because it's a habit. Once you learn that habit of learning, doing, iterating, and then going back out on the field and pushing again and taking it to another level, really, you have unlimited potential.
And of course, you can learn vicariously through others, which is what we're excited about, bringing you some of these stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The gentleman you're about to meet, we first met in 2012. He joined us for the Investor Summit at Sea, and from there, went on a field trip to a market, and now is very, very active in that market. So when we come back, you're going to meet Mr. David Zook today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the perpetual wealth strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
If you want to retire in the next 5 years or less through real estate, then please pay close attention. My name is Brad Sumrock, and I've taught thousands of my students how to replace their incomes, quit their jobs, and retire faster than they ever thought possible by not investing in single-family homes. You see, there's a secret to retiring fast with little risk, and it has nothing to do with being a landlord, fixing toilets, or flipping houses. The secret is multifamily apartment buildings. Starting from scratch with zero experience, I managed to pocket over $1 million in cash and retire from my 17-year corporate job within 3 years of apartment investing. Now, this is not your typical no-money-down real estate training. We believe in smart, hard work for intelligent people. So if you're good with your finances, have a decent job, or saving your money, and you're looking for a change and getting out of the rat race, then investing in apartment buildings might just be the answer you've been looking for. Send an email right now to Sumrock at realestateguysradio.com to get the details of my upcoming training event, and you'll also receive my free training webinar, Apartment Investing for Beginners. That's Sumrock, S-U-M-R-O-K, at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this great radio station all the time at realestateguysradio.com. And of course, your favorite podcast outlets, Oh my gosh, the downloads keep coming. We appreciate that. Our guest today is a successful real estate investor and syndicator, but when we met him, he was basically neither. Let's say hello to Mr. David Zook. How are you, Dave?
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, we go back now quite a few years, and it's been great to watch your evolution, and we thought you'd be the perfect guy to kind of kick off this series of lessons learned in real life. When we met, you were interested in real estate for a very particular reason. I remember you said, well, here's why I'm interested in real estate. And it's not the same reason that everybody has. Why were you attracted to real estate investing?
So I had a real tax problem. I came out of sort of a time in my life where I had built a couple businesses, and some of them were really successful. And one in particular was just a cash flow machine that didn't have a lot of depreciation benefit to it. And so through educating myself, getting around the right people, reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, listening to you guys, and then eventually coming under the Summit at Sea and getting around those folks, I realized that although all my life I'd been taught that if you make a lot of money, you got to pay a lot of tax, I got to the point where I realized that wasn't necessarily true. So it was through that experience that I realized that real estate had a real tax shelter benefit to it, something that I didn't realize before. And so that was the real draw for me. I really got chased into the business because of a tax problem I had.
So, you know, Dave, we often say we don't let the tax tail wag the dog, but here was a tax issue you had, and through study, and you figured out, well, this is a thing I need to do, and now I better go get educated about real estate. And I remember you came on our Memphis field trip, and we do these field trips to markets to learn about them. And had you had your eye on Memphis up till then?
Not at all. I was listening to you guys. There was some kind of a connection. I remember I downloaded the first show, and it was this kind of immediate connection that I had with you guys. And so I heard you talking about the different markets that you were doing field trips in. It just happened to be that the next one, you know, when I was ready, the next one coming up was Memphis. So I was very pleased with my experience at the Summit at Sea and the connections that I made there. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to continue that and continue that education and join you guys in the Memphis field trip. And that's where it all started.
So before we get to what you've done in Memphis, you know, we talk a lot about the field trips when there's one on the calendar, and there's always seems to be one on the calendar, and you've been to several of them now. From your perspective, what is the advantage to going in and kicking the dirt, learning about a market before you're committed to a property?
Well, the number one thing for me was not only the education on the market, but really getting introduced to the right teams. So after being around you guys and being introduced to some folks in your networks, I got this sort of feeling that the guys that I was being introduced to were just really good guys. So I figured what better way to not only go learn about the market, but also get hooked up with the right teams in that market. So that was a big one for me.
Yeah, you know, in every market we go into, we search for what we call providers. Those are folks that can help people live out education for effective action. And they might be real estate brokers or developers or turnkey operators. In this case, a commercial real estate broker we'd really enjoyed for a long time. And now you know why, because you've worked with Steve for quite a while. But let's take folks through, because you started investing in your own account. And before long, you figured out that there was an opportunity to bring other people along and jumped into syndication. But not everyone listening is interested in syndicating, but everyone listening is probably wanting to figure out, how do you get into investment? So you came with a tax issue. You found a market that seemed good. What happened next?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know how when something kind of burns in your mind, you and I had only met like one or two times before this. And so I was at the New Orleans Investment Conference. I remember I was on the phone and you walked by, and it was kind of that moment like, wow, this is a guy that hooked me up with the team that I'm now doing my very first deal with in Memphis. I was on the phone with Steve. So we were doing our very first deal, which was a 92-unit building. So yeah, so we went down that path, did a 92-unit deal with a client of Steve's. So we partnered on a deal. Steve made the connection there. And that's the thing. That's the lesson, is when you get around right people, when you get around really good folks, they also have really good folks in their network. So we ended up doing a deal. Really liked the way my partner worked. Really liked the deal. We were making double-digit cash flow on this investment. And so we did another one. We bought a 252-unit deal together. And after buying a couple hundred units together, I got my family involved, and then it got to the point where eventually we had to slow down because of obvious reasons. There was cash was getting low, and It was then that you guys were talking about syndication. I got invited to sit on a board of a local bank startup. And I heard the conversations about people who were invested in CDs. And at the time, they were making like 0.02% or something like that. Being around you guys, hearing about the syndication thing, and then getting around that kind of talk, I was like, man, surely there's some way we can connect the dots here between what we're doing and making double digits in the multifamily space and what they were doing in CDs. And so there was kind of defining moments in my life where kind of I was able to connect the dots. And it was about getting around the right people and then seeing the opportunity in the marketplace.
Well, it's interesting. When you think about, hey, I'm going to bring my brother, my dad, I'm going to bring my family along, you weren't thinking real estate syndication. You're thinking, well, this is working for me and I'm going to bring some people along. And then you do that and that works. And then you have friends and through conversation, it's like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'd be interested. And before long, it's like, wow, there is capital out there that needs to be put to work. Today, you are a professional fund manager. I mean, you raise money for a lot of different types of projects. Let's focus still on Memphis, just to give some perspective. When did you close on your first building in Memphis? Do you remember?
I think it was 2013.
And today, how many units do you and your partners have in Memphis?
It's around 2,400 units.
Okay, so that's pretty good success. And watching it happen, right, some in your own account, and obviously you had some wherewithal to be able to buy a few hundred units. It's not maybe as much wherewithal as folks would think, because Memphis is a low-priced market. It certainly was in 2013, but it took some gumption, and you put your own money where your mouth was, so to speak, and then you become comfortable telling the story. So how was that first part of going out and soliciting funds from investors, people you knew, talking the story, being able to show them that it was okay if they did, okay if they didn't? Talk about that first part of getting people involved.
Well, it was incredibly scary to me. I had never asked anybody for money before. And the other thing was, I wasn't known in the community as the real estate guy. So that was sort of, I think it was sort of a psychological barrier that I put there myself. But it was also, you know, I was known as the local business guy, not the local real estate guy. So it was something that I had to get through. What really helped me, though, was I had some success in that space. So I was able to kind of point to a couple projects. That really gave me the leverage that I needed to go out and talk to folks. And the first deal that I did was, we needed $850,000 in cash, and I had 45 days to fund it, and never raising a dime before in my life. It was incredibly scary. But what really helped me was, I made a decision early on, before I even started syndicating, that if I was going to do this, I wanted to do it right. I wanted to get around folks that were deeply ingrained in that space. And that's when I became a Syndication Mentoring Club member with you guys. And that's what really gave me the momentum to get started.
Well, and we don't talk much about our Syndication Mentoring Program on the radio. If you come out to our Secrets of Successful Syndication event, then you would learn about it. But we put together a small group of folks who are seriously committed to want to do the right thing and raise money and understand the rules involved, right? From a legal point of view, from a deal vetting point of view, from a communication to investors, all those kinds of things. And so what I want the audience to hear is, it doesn't matter what type of real estate you want to be involved in this case, syndication, whether it's multifamily, whether it's single family, commercial, agricultural, finding someone who knows that and having a peer group. Real estate can be a lonely business of lone eagle mavericks who go out there and find deals, and team building is critical. And we've watched you build a great team. You've already given us a couple of examples of ways you form joint ventures, strategic alliances, but you also take that approach with investors. It's more like a partnership, not from the legal point of view, but making sure that they're in line, that it makes sense for them and for you. Talk about how you vet an investor in your project.
It's a little bit different now than it was at first, where I was just going out to my local community, people that knew me. Anymore, I get emails from different folks, maybe friends of friends, or somebody's heard me on a podcast or seen me speak somewhere. But the number one thing for me is, I don't want to just unload a deal on someone that is open and available at the time. I want to learn what the investor's goals and objectives are. I want to get to know that investor and make sure that our goals are aligned, so that I don't put them in a deal that doesn't make sense for them.
Yeah, that's so, so critical, so important. We always teach it's never about you. It's always about them. You came into the business for a need. It worked for you. You took the time and the diligence to figure it out, and now you have some experience. And you made a great point about the way people know you. And we talked about this. In fact, you know, a few weeks ago, we had our syndication seminar, and you were gracious enough to come up and be one of our evidence of success stories, right? We kind of had a short version of this conversation then. But you get to the point where you want to be able to bring people along, but it has to be right for them. You've got your need. You've got your deal that has to be funded in 45 days. But if it's not right for the person, if it's not a match in terms of timeline or expected return or how long they're going to be in the deal, then it's very tempting to take the money. But I've watched you learn front and center that you can say no to money. And that's hard at first, but it's necessary as your business grows for sure. So now you've been syndicating, you've been raising money, and the first several deals you did were in Memphis. And then you decided it made sense to have another market besides Memphis. Talk about that part of it, because you were doing really well in that marketplace and you're still very active in Memphis, but today you're not a one-trick pony, if you will.
Yeah, so, I mean, the number one thing for me is I look for teams to do business with, and I've done that in several areas, but I remember clearly when you guys invited me down to Belize, and my number one thought was that, well, Belize, I knew nothing about it, and it wasn't on my radar at all. But I knew that if you guys were involved in the market, that I wanted to go see it.
Well, and Belize is completely different from Memphis in terms of, you know, everything about it. And yet still being open enough, you decided there was opportunity there. And now all of a sudden, this is the lesson, I think, when you only have one thing to sell. Hey, we're multifamily in Memphis. Then it's either a yes or no with investors, and that's fine. But as soon as you have even two things to sell, now it's an either or. Once you have three things, now it's pick from the list. Doesn't mean that you've got something right for everybody, but you have two different markets. They're in different countries. They're different types and profiles of properties. They're different exit strategies and hold strategies. So now all of a sudden, you're not just the Memphis apartment guy. You're the syndicator into real estate opportunity guy.
Yeah, and I was smart enough to figure out that I did not have a lot of the answers. I mean, like I said earlier, I wasn't the real estate guy. I was the business guy. So I knew that to accelerate my success, I had to get around the right people that were ingrained in that space and that were really, that really knew what they were doing in that space. So being able to align myself with the right people has been a big part of my success in this space.
Now, it's easy to gather from what we've heard so far that, hey, everything's roses. But of course, folks may remember that you've had two Halloween horror stories with us, which means you've learned there. Things haven't always been rosy. This is a path that takes a lot of fortitude and a lot of work. And I can remember a time not that long ago where you were throwing up your hands going, man, I can't seem to raise money. I've hit a wall. Talk us through that part of it, when you get stuck.
Yeah, well, I think, and I clearly remember the time as well. I remember laying in bed one night, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I doing this? I've got successful business. I don't need to do this from a financial perspective. But I knew in the back of my mind, I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. It was something that I would love doing. It was something that, I mean, I love people. I love doing deals. And so I knew it was a natural fit for me. So I got on our monthly call with the mentoring club and I threw it out to the guys and I said, look, I'm hitting this brick wall. I've kind of exhausted my network and I was trying to reach outside of my initial network to get my momentum back. And also I didn't realize at the time that it was slow season. It was around the holidays. It was Christmas and New Year's. And so I didn't realize that this was kind of a somewhat cyclical time of year. And I was tempted to throw in the towel. But again, it was about being around the right folks. I was in the mentoring club, got some advice that I was able to really put to work. And it wasn't long after that that I was able to break through that barrier and I got my momentum back.
Yeah, you sure did. And we'll talk about all that when we come back. But one of the key parts that you just said is you did the work. It's one thing to get over it emotionally, but then you have to stick to the plan. And it does take work, but as you'll see shortly, it's worth it on the other side. We'll continue our conversation with Dave when we come back. We'll also play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from May 5th through 8th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 10 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2016 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is off to an even better start. How does that translate to real estate investment? Well, that's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long-term and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, the market we'll spend time in, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me May 5th through 8th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips here at the Real Estate Guys, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Events, where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates, as well as travel details. So join me in Belize. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under Events and join us for the next Belize Discovery Trip. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hans. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. If you want to expand your consciousness, expand your wealth, expand your future, and have more delight and excitement in your future than in your past, keep listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. It's real life lessons this week. We're talking with Dave Zook about going from a guy attending seminars to now syndicating, as you'll soon hear, tens of millions of dollars. Before we get back to our interview with Dave, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to give you a question that's something to do with Memphis, Tennessee, the market that Dave started in. As soon as you hear the question or know the answer, send us an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com with your name, the answer to the question, and your physical mailing address. Because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a really cool book of quotes called Whatever You Are, Be a Good One by Lisa Congdon. It's an illustrated book of really fun quotes. You're going to dig it. That will be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Before I give you that question, last week on The Real Estate Guys, we had David Sewell on the program talking about chocolate and the cacao farms, and we asked this: where in the world does the cacao tree originate? In what part of the world is cacao known for? Well, the cacao tree is native to the Americas. It originated in Central America as well as parts of Mexico, today grown all over the world. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. One of the best known places in the city of Memphis is Beale Street, and on our field trips, we always take a walk down Beale Street. That's where the father of the blues wrote and played his music. In fact, there is a statue of him in a park named for him on Beale Street. Who was the father of the blues? Who are we talking about when we say the Memphis father of the blues? If you know or want to take a guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and you'll get a copy of Whatever You Are, Be a Good One. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking with David Zook. He is an investor and syndicator. And Dave, now it's been since 2013, you've been investing in Memphis and then shortly after that in Belize. Today, you continue to look for new opportunities and projects and meet investors. And how much capital have you raised as a syndicator?
It's around $26 million so far.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's a bunch. And what that means isn't just, wow, that's great for Dave and his investors. It means that there's $26 million worth of investment capital that has been wrestled out of the places that sometimes it goes and may or may not be as trustworthy. We have a lot of folks today that aren't sure that maybe bankers and Wall Street and hedge funds and those folks aren't exactly the right choice for them. And so really what syndication does is it gives folks a chance to invest in Main Street, we like to say. Talk about the first time you were able to send a check back to your investors and what that was like.
Oh, it was so much fun, and it still is. You know, the most gratifying experience in this whole deal is once a quarter, I get to send checks out to my investors. And when you can over-deliver what you projected, it's even more fun. And it's, you know, and even above and beyond delivering the goods, delivering the checks, I've got relationships with people in my county. I've got relationships with people all over the United States that I wouldn't have had it not been for getting into this business.
Yeah, it is a great way to expand your network, a way to do more deals, to get exposed to folks. And also, you know, as you have attracted more and more investors, I've just noticed that you started to work with kind of a higher caliber of investor. And, you know, no disrespect to anybody who isn't at the level that yet, but you're able to talk to wealthier people. You're able to raise your minimums. Talk about that part of the transition. You know, early on, most of your deals were maybe what, $50,000 minimum, and today there's guys putting $500,000 in your deals. Talk about making that jump.
Yeah, so a couple things. I mean, I never want to forget my roots, and I always like to do business with guys in the community and help people in my community that otherwise wouldn't have access to deals like this. But I've also had a lot of fun reaching out, getting to know new people, and getting into some other networks that I didn't have access to at first. And some of that is just relationships. Some of it is experience. Some of it is track record. And then some of it's just getting around the right folks and getting introduced to other folks. But it's been fun to kind of tap into other networks and be able to get to know new people and higher net worth people that also like to play in this space.
You know, if you decide you want to get into syndication, then one of the things we always counsel people about is the wall you spoke about, the exact thing. I've run out of my warm network, people that already know me, and I've talked to them, and now who do I talk to? And it's been great watching you break through that and to be able to approach new folks, new networks of folks, and giving value, not just asking, hey, do you want to invest in my deal, right? Because it's always a two-way street. And I think as an evolution, as an investor, many people find the next step is I'm going to syndicate, I'm going to raise money because I've run out of my own funds. However, the vast majority of people only invest in their own account. And for some of them, hey, buying an individual property is awesome. But I think what you're discovering is many of the investors that you have are folks who would rather have you do all that heavy lifting than them.
And I remember a time in my life when I was in exactly that same situation. I was building my business. I had some traction there. I wasn't plateaued. I was just experiencing some major growth, and I didn't have time to take my eye off the ball at that time. I didn't have a team that could really carry that ball and run with it. I'm blessed today to have some really good people on my team. And because of that, I'm able to go out in the market and do more of the deals and the syndications and the real estate projects that I'm doing today. So things change for me, but I can always look back and see how it was for me 10 years ago. And I can relate to that business owner that's busy. He's got his plate full. He's making a lot of money, but he don't have time to go out and research the market and look for deals. So I know exactly where that person is at, so I can deliver value to that person. He's back home. He's doing the thing that he's really good at. And so I'll be able to come in and just invite him into the deal with us. You know, it's a little different than it was at first when I felt like I had to fund my deal for $850,000. Today, it's much more like, hey, we're doing this thing, and I'd love to have you come with us. And it's not about me. It's about adding value to that business owner or that investor.
It changes when you no longer worry about the money, meaning that you've got a network that's big enough that when you have a new deal, you're going to get it funded. And in fact, many of the people that you talk to and have along the way go, this looks good. You know, I like you. We've known each other a long time. You're doing it. You've got your own money in the deal, which you always do. So let's do it. Then you've got people who maybe they weren't sure and so forth, but now that you've been doing it, I've seen some of those friends of yours come along, either double down, put more money in the deal, or people that said no 3 years ago are saying, hey, Dave, what was that again?
Yeah, so we did have a lot of that. And most of our deals get funded primarily by current investors. And in fact, it was so much so that I had to carve out a little piece of each deal so that I could invite new folks. You always want to kind of expand that investor base so that when you do get a bigger deal at some point, you have a kind of a bigger bandwidth. So in talking to some of my advisory team, I was able to come up with a plan like, how do I expand my investor base, but at the same time service my current investors? So now today, what I typically do is carve out a 20% piece of the deal for new folks. And I always give my current investors first shot of that 80% of the deal. And normally I give them about 24 hours to get into the deal before I send it out to other folks. So it's been a challenge and it's been a learning experience, but we were able to get through some of them hurdles. And again, it was about getting around the right folks, getting advice from folks that were in that space. And for me, that's what it's always about. It's about knowing where to go to get the answers that you need. I don't have to have all the answers, but I got good people around me that I can get those answers from.
Such an important point. You know, so many lessons here, and there's been a lot of them, but one of the things we asked Dave to do, you know, now that you've been on lots of podcasts, you've been asked to speak places, we've certainly highlighted you at our events because you're having success and you're doing great business, which I think is critical. A lot of folks who get attracted to real estate don't necessarily have the best motives, so it's easy to start to figure that out as you're around the business, right? The best folks hang out together, brainstorm together, network together, they're connectors, they have abundance mentality, which you absolutely do. And the other folks, right, they're going to do what they're going to do. But I think always having that peer group is important. We've asked Dave if he would solidify some of these thoughts into a quick paper that you did about the 8 great lessons that he's learned going from student to syndicator. And Dave is not a guy that spends a lot of time writing, although you are a published author. We should mention that. If you ever wanted to know how to make a chicken coop, Dave is the author of Chicken Coops for Dummies.
That is correct. You know, it was at a point in the time of our business where we were just coming out of the 2008 recession, and a lot of people's minds were getting around a little more self-sufficient. They were realizing that they were too dependent on the system. We got chicken coops in all the lower 48 states, and it was about that time in 2008 where I was doing business with a friend who had just written Raising Chickens for Dummies.
All right.
And it was a massive success, and so they decided to do another series which talked about chicken coops. So Wiley and a friend of mine approached me about writing the book. It was a good experience to go through, but I decided it wasn't something that I wanted to focus the rest of my life doing.
Well, at the same time, at your heart, you definitely are a teacher because I watch you mentor folks in just conversations. You're now doing presentations and webinars for folks. And so we've asked Dave to call on those past writing skills and come up with this quick paper he put together on 8 real life lessons that he's learned in going through this process. And so if you're interested in that, we'll tell you how to get that quick little paper. And what also we'll do is give you Dave's contact information. So you may be interested because you're in the same kind of path. Hey, I want to become Dave Zook. Or if you're interested in what you guys are doing, and maybe you want to come alongside Dave and invest, that also could be a great way to do it. I mean, you've been out there raising money for your own deals. You've actually helped us raise money on some of our deals. You're always meeting new people. So if you're a passive investor and you'd like to put some money to work, I can't think of a much better guy to do that with. Dave, before we're out of here, you know, you have had great success and you've raised a ton of money. And I watch the business you're doing and the caliber of business and people, and it's awesome. And yet, there was a time where you were just sitting there with a problem. So if there's someone out in the audience and they haven't made that step, their problem, it might not be taxes. It might be, I don't have enough income, or I'm worried about my kids' college, or I hate my job. What advice would you have for someone who's thinking, I'm not sure, and I don't know if I can do this? What would you say to that person?
The number one thing for me, and I've tried this in several different asset classes, I've tried this in several different niches that I was involved in, I always like to seek out people who are successful in that space and get around those folks. So the number one thing I would recommend is getting around those people, surrounding yourself with mentors, people that are successful in that space, and really lean on them and their expertise. And it's going to help you avoid many of the mistakes you would make going out there and trying to do it by yourself.
All right, good stuff. Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. And of course, putting together this report, it's the 8 real world secrets that Dave has found out, the lessons he's learned. And also, that's a great way to get Dave's contact information in case you're interested in investing in what he's doing. Dave, we always appreciate you. It's great to see you. And thanks for sharing today.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
You bet. You've turned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Do Dreaming of fast profits, flipping houses, or enjoying massive streams of passive income, but not sure where to start? Discover Red Hot Dallas, Texas, and one of the premier turnkey property providers in the nation. Attend American Real Estate Investments Property Tour and Workshop April 21st through the 23rd. See firsthand what makes the Dallas market so strong. Meet a great team of dedicated acquisition specialists, property managers, and financing sources. Tour a variety of properties in various stages of renovation, including some available right now. But there's only one bus, so space is limited. For all the details, send an email to dfwtour@investmentpropertyshowcase.com. That's dfwtour@investmentpropertyshowcase.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Bill Bonner. I'm author of Hormageddon, and I'm the publisher at Agora, where we publish more than 2.5 million readers around the world with The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. And it's hard to believe, but our 20th year of broadcast. Amazing, amazing story from David Zook.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's always gratifying when you're putting your content out in the world. As our voices are sitting here going into the microphones, you know, on the other end of this, really, it just blows my mind, or tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people listening. And you just never know when you're putting that out there what's going to happen. And when someone comes through the process of clawing their way through cyberspace and comes into the real world, where we get a chance to meet them at a field trip, at a seminar, at a on the summit at sea in Dave's case, however we get a chance to get to know them, it's just so exciting when you look in their eyes and you hear them ask their questions and they share with you why they listen to the show, what they enjoy about the show, what they're hoping to achieve. And you know, our motto forever has been education for effective action. So our litmus test, the way we measure if what we do is worth doing, we get up every day and work and do what we do, is then when we see people like Dave who go from being a student to actually being successful, either as an individual investor in Dave's case, taking his individual investing expertise and then immediately turning around and sharing that with larger groups of people. One of the things that really stood out to me in what he said is when he made that flip, you know, the very beginning, it was like, hey, I need $850,000 to do my deal. And when you flip it over and you go, you know what? There's $850,000 out there that need my deal. It's a very different mindset. The business gets so much easier when you take your emphasis off of what you need and you put it on what you're doing can help other people. And of course, Dave identified quickly with the busy small business owners out there, guys just like him. That's typically what happens. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, you know, if you're a type of person that makes a decent amount of money or has a little bit of savings or capital or a good income, you know, you're frustrated. You're busy doing whatever it is you're doing and you're putting food on the table and maybe you're throwing up a little bit of money, but you know, you want to accelerate your wealth. And there are people out there like Dave who dedicate themselves to figuring out how can I go find great deals? And more importantly, and I think probably the overarching theme, is how do I go out and build great teams? How do I go find the right people and surround myself with the right people so I can execute on a high level and a big level and bring more people along for the ride?
You know, it's interesting. The first story he told when he came on the Investor Summit, he had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He was studying the fact that real estate could be a good tax break. And that very week, he met Robert Kiyosaki. He got to sit with Tom Wheelwright. Ken McElroy was there. Talk about a great environment to hang out. So I think part of it is, you know, Woody Allen said 80% of life is just showing up.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can learn sitting in your cubicle or on the treadmill listening to podcasts. At some point, you got to get out and meet people. How many times did Dave talk about meeting the right people, getting around the right people? That's not happening in your living room.
Yeah. We put so much emphasis on it. I think really for especially the younger generation, human beings are social by nature, and I get that, but trust, is built, you know, having human contact, human relationships. But there's also the water cooler effect. You know, even we have a lot of people who work virtually today, and, you know, they have the water cooler interaction with their dog or the neighbor, but nobody that they can really collaborate on in business. Everything is scheduled. You know, you've got a meeting or a Google Hangout or a conference call or whatever, and you have a very scripted, structured agenda. Hey, this is what we got to get done. We get in, we get out. And you just don't have those like random opportunities where you just end up in a conversation completely unscripted, completely unplanned. So that's why we're such huge advocates of getting out. We create environments like that. We encourage people. We promote other people who are putting together environments like that. And I think that for Dave, you know, that's what ended up happening. You've got to put yourself in a position to have an unscripted event. And you know, you don't get lucky by plan. You get lucky by putting yourself in a position to get lucky. And you can't ever, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee in entrepreneurship that you're going to meet the right person. But I can guarantee you that if you stay sitting at home, locked in your bedroom, you're not. They're not coming over to your house. They're out in the real world. And that's where you got to go.
Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And Dave is sure a lucky guy. Hey, great to have him on the program. He's put together this great little paper, and it's called The 8 Real World Lessons That He's Learned From What He's Done. And if you want those lessons, all you have to do is send an email to 8. That's 8, E-I-G-H-T. Or you know what? Be lazy. Put the number 8 in. Either way, 8@realestateguysradio.com. And that'll also give you a contact information for Dave. So if you want to reach out, you're welcome to find out what he's doing. Get a copy of some of his past deals so you can look over the kind of stuff he does. He does great business. Hey, we mentioned Memphis. We also mentioned Belize. If you want to come check out Belize, the Real Estate Guy's next field trip is to the beautiful country of Belize. It takes place in May. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. We'd also love to get your feedback on our website if you enjoyed today's show. Do we want to do more of these? We're thinking we're going to get some more real-life lessons from talking to investors and kind of learning their pathway. If you enjoyed the show, let us know. Either way, next week on the show, we've got a great program for you. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.